This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, what's going on right now down there is the mayor and Josh Harris are thanking basically everybody in town and certainly thanking people that could be of significance to them moving forward with this process. There was a quote by Roger Goodell that really summed up the last 27 years when he said a generation grew up without what he experienced as a fan at RFK Stadium, what Bram, you know, mentioned he experienced, what I did and many of you who are listening experienced, and my sons and many that have, you know, boys and girls, ages, you know, early to mid-teens through their late 20s and into their early 30s, we basically went almost a generation and a half of missing out on what so many of us had a chance to experience. But he said a generation grew up without it, but the next one will be as in they'll get to experience something great. You know, winning matters, but hopefully they can do that as well. All right, let's head back out there. They're taking some questions right now.
Roger, real quick, how much does this increase the chances of getting a Super Bowl in D.C.?
Woo! Well, I didn't come here to announce that, but I would say dramatically.
Our next question, Sam Fortier of the Washington Post.
For all of you, when did this moment start to feel real, and what does it feel like right now?
Well, I'll start. I mean, obviously, this has been a vision of ours since we bought the team, bought the club. It was in our original plan. It's been a journey. It's been a process. I'd say, for me personally, it really started to get real in the last few weeks when the mayor, I think, shook me by and said, we got to get going, even though we're waiting around for some politics to occur. But it got real then, and we're so happy to be in partnership with the city and the NFL announcing it today.
For me, Sam, I knew once we got the land that we needed to be ready. And when I sat across the table from Josh and we kind of had a time frame in mind that this had to get done, or we were both going to have to move on. He was going to have to move on from us, and we were going to have to move on from the team. And so once we established that, I already knew we had the best site. I did. I knew we had the best site. And once I knew that he wanted to be back home, that we charted a path to get there. So when we knew we had the land, we'd already been working on a pretty good plan, and now we're here.
I would just add very quickly, these projects are not easy projects to take on. They're complex. They involve a lot of decision making along the way. There are difficult periods, but I would fall back on the leadership of the mayor, who had the vision and the willingness to take this on. I think, you know, that does not happen in cities or states without that kind of a political leader standing up and saying this is good for our community, which we obviously agree. And of course, Josh, who understood not just the emotional reason for coming back to the district, but also this was really the right thing for this community. This will be a tremendous economic driver, but more importantly, I think it will send a signal to everyone in the world, frankly, of this community and the way they're going and the direction they're going.
Our next question, David Aldridge from The Athletic.
Thank you. For Josh and for Mayor Bowser, what assurances can you provide to local residents that they will not be overwhelmed by the new construction, the new projects, that they will be able to stay in the area and stay in the housing that they currently have? And for Roger, I wonder if the SoFi project in LA is at all analogous to this in terms of the partnership that the Kroenkes had with the city of Inglewood.
Well, thanks for that that question. And the good thing about this site is it was an NFL stadium there. The Washington football team played there for decades. And the transportation infrastructure exists. It is served by Metro. It's served by the highway. It's served by an expansive bus system. The difference between when the team last played and now is that there are many other modes that are available for people to travel there as well. What we've heard from the community is they're tired of the blight. And they want the 180-acre parcel to be brought back to life. So one advantage is that we won't just have what's there now, a sea of parking and a stadium. We're going to be able to have a wonderful mix of uses. I love that we can show a map that demonstrates all of the different parcels that will be engaged that include entertainment, an entertainment district, that has set aside park space, including the area that can't be developed right along the Anacostia River, and an entire recreation district that the district will populate with the existing fields and our sportsplex, and what we're calling the Kingman Park District, which will be largely residential. So this is what we promise to deliver, a mix of uses that includes an NFL stadium.
Yeah, David, the only thing I would add, and that's well said, is just that only 15%. Right now, there's a crumbling. I mean, we've walked around there a bunch of times, and there's nothing there, right? And it's just been that way since RFK closed in the 90s. And so now we're bringing this area back to life. We're activating the area. And the stadium itself is only 15% of the overall landmass. So, you know, obviously, you know, this is going to be a great thing for that area in terms of activating, you know, the Anacostia River. You can actually ride your bike from Nationals Park. It's a thing for the neighborhood. And so that's a big part of what we're doing.
David, I think you asked about analogous to other stadiums. I think Atlanta is a very interesting analogy also. I think Los Angeles clearly is. I think Detroit is. I think there are many cities where they have seen the value of the reinvestment into that community, a stadium being surrounded by a development such as this, that I think is very powerful, and they've all been successful. Both in, I think, the community's mind, most importantly, but also in our mind. But I also think they've been successful from an economic standpoint.
Our next question is from Stephen Wino of the Associated Press.
Josh, my question's for you. Obviously, I know you guys have been looking at sites in Maryland and Virginia in the district. How much of sort of the your investment was for you guys, as Mitch and your ownership group, nostalgia about how much you guys as a team wanted to be back at the RFK site?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, we all grew up here, right? And we all were certainly touched by our experiences, but I think it was less nostalgia and more just a deep connection to understanding how important the location was. It's in the middle of, you've got, the DMV is obviously Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. D.C. happens to be in the middle. Obviously, we all experienced, you know, the rumbling of RFK and the centrality of that location in terms of its proximity to the seat of government and to businesses and being in the middle, as well as, you know, the experience of a city stadium, right? Like walking there, taking the metro, you know, kind of the experience itself. So I think that All of those things contributed, but at the end of the day, it was the right thing. It was less nostalgia. It was more just the fact that we had grown up here gave us that vision to, you know, not look at the crumbling concrete that was there, but remember in our minds the vivid nature of what Washington football was all about and how it really brought a city that was socioeconomically, you know, distinct and challenged at that point, with lots of groups of people together, right? No matter where you were from, who you were, your race, color, religion, on Sundays you were a Washington football fan. And so that really did contribute to our focus on it and then, you know, kind of brought it to life. And then look, let's face it, Washington is amongst, if not the most important city in the world. It's a gateway city for the United States of America. And, you know, to have a stadium and a site, you know, where you can see the Washington Monument, you can see the Capitol. I mean, I remember watching on TV those shots and having John Madden talk about, we're here in the nation's capital, and there's the Washington Monument. There's the White House. There's the nation's capital. And then there's RFK, that bull, right? And so all that stuff was incredibly motivating to all of us.
Our next question is from Chick Hernandez at WUSA.
All righty then. You going to hold this?
Yeah, I got
it. Okay. I am capable. Commissioner, we've had 2 decades of darkness here with this franchise, and then it turned around. What's the league view of this franchise and what's taking place right now with this welcoming back home?
Yeah, I would say that the league view is incredibly positive. Josh coming in and I think making a commitment to this franchise that they were going to be one that this community would be proud of. Obviously, every owner that comes in hopes to have the winning tradition reestablished quickly. I think Josh may have been ahead of his timetable a little bit, but good for him. And I think it's
good
beyond
GM and coach and quarterback.
Jaden helps, but he's got a great team over here. But I would say that we look at this as a very important football market. This has been one that we want to have, obviously, a sterling franchise in this community. We feel that we have that now. It's going in the right direction. I think the commitment by Josh and the city to bring the team back into D.C. is a really important one, I think emotionally, but also I think it signifies that they care about this community, they care deeply about it, and they're going to do the right things to make this franchise successful.
Our next question is from Rebecca Turco of WJLA7.
Hi, good morning. This is a question for the mayor. The $202 million for infrastructure and the $89 million for the sports. Can you explain why use taxpayer money for this? Why not pursue creative options like personal seat licenses, for instance?
Okay, so I think you've asked me about the public investment in the stadium. So what I hope has been made clear is that this is a massive investment and the largest private investment in the district's history. The Commanders will be committing $2.7 billion to building the stadium, $2.7 billion. So the total investment will be $3.6 billion. Our part of the investment will be $500 million to support horizontal stadium construction. And Events DC, as I mentioned, our partner, is partnering for parking in the sum of $181 million. And the district is also partnering in parking for a total of $175 million. At the end of the day, we will own both of the parking garages. And so in addition to that, as we have done with all public parcel development, we contribute to infrastructure development. And so we have the sum of $202 million listed there for roadways and transportation studies and the like that support bringing RFK to life. Very similar to what we're doing at McMillan or what we've done at St. Elizabeth's or what we've done at Walter Reed or what we've done at the adjacent Hill East, that the district goes in and supports infrastructure and works with a trusted development partner to build out. And that's how we expect to proceed here. As it relates to the Sportsplex, this is a long promise of mine. I think you know, 3 years ago, I made my first investment in the Sportsplex in our capital improvements plan, and we're coming back as part of this package to make sure we deliver it. You may not know this, but our kids right now leave school if they are indoor track athletes, for example, and they travel out of D.C. to go do track. Our gymnasts, they go around the region. Our cheerleaders don't have a place to cheer. So we need a world-class indoor sports facility, and we will invest in it at RFK.
Our next question is from Sam Collins of the Washington Informer.
Peace and blessings. Sam P.K. Collins of the Washington Informer. Madam Mayor, and anybody else who wants to answer, if we can just talk about, as it relates to the community benefits plan, what is the timeline of stakeholder engagement? How much in funds are we talking about being dispersed? And is this an arrangement that's happening in perpetuity or for a limited time?
Well, with all economic development projects, I start with this, and I've been involved with a lot over the years. The number one community benefit is what we will deliver on the site. So we will be able to deliver because of this catalytic anchor investment by the commanders between 5,000 and 6,000 units of housing. We will be able to deliver more hotels. We will be able to deliver more jobs. So those are the chief economic benefits. When we look at this, more than 16,000 jobs will be created and more than $20 billion in tax revenue over the period of this commitment. Those are the benefits. Additionally, we have laid out some pretty preliminary ideas with the team about other ways that the community will want to be involved in the site. I know I've had some preliminary conversations with members of the council. The team has had preliminary conversations with members of the council. And I expect those ideas will be fleshed out during the council process.
Your next question is from Mark Seagraves of NBC4.
Hey, good morning. Thanks very much. A question for you, Mayor Bowser, and a question for you, Mr. Harris. Mayor Bowser, I'm just wondering what you will say to residents at a time, you know, you're faced with an enormous uphill budget battle going forward, both in the 2025 and in the upcoming 2026, with the prospects of layoffs, cuts of services, and hundreds of millions of dollars cut from the out years in the budget. How do you justify, what do you say to residents who think this is not the right time to put hundreds of millions of dollars into this development when you're having to cut services and possibly furlough workers? And then, Mr. Harris, for you, you mentioned that through this you've learned a lot about the political process with the federal government. You're about to learn a lot about the political process with the D.C. Council. And I only see 4 council members here today. You're going to need 7 votes. I'm wondering if what your plan – we saw what happened with Monumental in Virginia. I'm wondering what your plan B is and how serious you've negotiated with Maryland throughout this if this deal falls through, if the D.C. Council fails to approve this.
Mark, I want to make sure you're not confusing viewers. We're not talking about the CR-caused FY25 summer crises. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is our future. We're talking about our FY26 budget. And I'm advancing a balanced FY26 budget. That is both focus on right-sizing spending, for sure, but it is also making some big, bold investments in growth. Yeah. Now is not the time where our economy is shifting. You know what our job is right now? Our job is to replace economic activity for 40,000 people. If we don't make some change, they may not have their jobs. If we don't make some change, they may not live here. So our job is to advance a budget that is bold and that invests in growth. And I'm going to be talking a lot more about all of that growth agenda. But it starts with a catalytic investment at RFK. We cannot leave. If you need to add revenue, as we do, you can't leave 180 acres vacant. If you need to add jobs, as we do, you cannot wait for an anchor to show up to start developing there. When you need to attract business, you have to be about business. So we're going to be talking about FY26. Now, the Congress still has to fix FY25. Because if they don't, because your question is a serious one, I call it a fake budget crisis, because we have the money. That's right. So if we have to cut services because they don't fix their SNAP food, then that's a problem. But, you know, we're going to keep pushing it. But we can't stuck, because no matter what happens with FY25, FY26 is coming. And so we're going to have, at the end of FY30, or the beginning of FY30, a new stadium. We're going to have it.
I think that this is an incredible ROI for the city of D.C., the local community around the stadium. The mayor has done an amazing job at negotiating on behalf of the city, but also becoming a partner with us in an investment that is going to create like billions of tax revenue, thousands of jobs, a whole new community, and tie together the city. And I look forward to continuing my engagement and intensifying my engagement with the council, both Ward 7, but also the broader D.C. Communities and the people that are representing the broader D.C. community, and being super transparent, giving them the details.
All right, that was the mayor there at the end, making the pitch that she will continue to make, especially with those that push back on it. And it sounded pretty good. We'll follow up on this, and if you want to weigh in, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Looks like the stadium will be built on the RFK site. Do you like it? Don't you like it? Why not? Have at it. Ben Standing later on next hour. We'll get back to the draft. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team 980.com.